fellowship as we are here looking at the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He has a great number of ministries and roles that he accomplishes in regards to our relationship with God and our very spiritual life. One that I didn't plug in, somebody reminded me, inspiring ministry. He inspires the truth. All prophecy comes through God the Holy Spirit. So the inspiration of the truth of doctrine is via God the Holy Spirit. Here in Roman numeral 5, as we're dealing with the convicting ministry, which is that ministry of the Holy Spirit that enlightens the unbeliever with respect to the spiritual issues, the issues at hand, in regards to the gospel message and the need for salvation. And it's a part of common grace as it is made available to all unbelievers in that respect. And it's necessary, as we know, because those who are spiritually dead cannot understand those things of spiritual life, that is, the things of the Spirit. We're looking at our verses here, Romans 5:12. That's Roman numeral 5, subpoint D. Romans 5:12. Documents the fact that we're all spiritually dead. Therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin, that's the sin nature, entered into the world, and death, spiritual death, through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin, we are all held accountable under the imputation of Adam's original sin via our genetic relationship with him of sinful flesh. And then Romans 8:7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Obviously, the unbeliever is running under their sin nature unbroken in regards to its rulership. Even for the believer priest who is out of fellowship, not willing to recognize and acknowledge certain sins in their life, they become often antagonistic in regards to the truth. 1 Corinthians 1:18 was for the world of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:3. And in whose case the God of this world is blinding the minds of the unbelieving, that he might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Those who determine to reject the gospel message, Satan has all the ammunition necessary to keep them distracted from embracing the truth otherwise, and hence blind under their sin natures. Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in your former life, spiritual death, as an unbeliever. Roman numeral 6. Now the areas in which the Holy Spirit convicts and the gospel message, it addresses three essential issues at hand. Jesus teaches this in John 16:7-11. And the role of the Holy Spirit in his convicting role, verse 7, John 16. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is none other than God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, verse 13, shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. The things must occur in history for God's plan to be advanced, and for the church age dispensation, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit is unique to us, and that is the fact that he lives inside us. And he then highlights his convicting ministry with respect to the world. Verse 8, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Three areas. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. The sin of unbelief. This highlights the convicting ministry to unbelievers. To not believe in Christ is an unpardonable sin. It's a sin that he could not die for on the cross. It's impossible because it's dependent upon our volition to believe or not to believe. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me, the need for Christ to go to the cross, to be validated for his work on the cross, so that God's plus R can then be imputed to us, become a reality. And then verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, the destiny of unbelievers, the same destiny of Satan himself, the ruler of the world, if one does not believe all that which brought about spiritual death and making it possible through the satanic regime. So the areas are A, sin, that's unbelief in Jesus Christ. B, righteousness, that's his plus R. That is, no salvation in human works or relative righteousness. Your righteousness you've got to attain to has got to be perfect. It can be no sin associated with it whatsoever. And in fact, we come in the world sinful creatures, we've already failed that possibility. Judgment, that's the consequences of rejecting faith in Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 8, now further theological definitions that we can attach to the convicting ministry. Again, as we addressed already, A, common grace, that's the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit apart from human volition. Again, he does this whether one will choose to believe or not. He still will convict. So it is part of common grace, whether you're evil or you're good. See, it rains or the sun shines. Yay, by the way. B, is associated with efficacious grace. To be efficacious means to be effective. That looks at positive human volition. What makes the grace, the common grace, efficacious or effective, the benefit, is one's volition towards it, the positive volition to embrace the gospel. See, obviously, regeneration. It is a call that will result in a new birth. And the ability to therefore then ascertain the things of God with our own spiritual apparatus of human spirit. So that's the Holy Spirit gives a new believer a human spirit. And then D, you have the divine call, the calling. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit converting gnosis, the information of the gospel, to epinosis, a clear understanding. The call or invitation, as it may be contending in regards to the individual. Roman numeral 8 deals with the spectrum of efficacious grace. How this grace then becomes effective in regards to the individual. You have the combination A in the Greek, dia, D-I-A, plus kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, called through the gospel. The calling, the invitation is through the gospel. That is, makes the calling efficacious. The exercise of grace, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. and it is for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. B, you had the phrase or compound phrase in plus kaleo, the preposition in, en, called in the sphere of. In the sphere of. That sphere again is grace, Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so easily disturbing him who called you by grace, in grace. For a different gospel. We're called in the sphere of hope. Makes all these things effective. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit. It's the universal church, the universal body. Just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. That hope is confident expectation of his results of salvation. So three, we're called in a sphere of peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15. In the context of negative and positive spouses, one unbeliever or believer, as it may be. Verse 15, yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases in regards to maintaining the unity of the familial setting of right man, right woman. Separation, they're not held accountable in regards to applying separation. If the truth does not bring them to their senses and they threaten or do this, then the positive adjusted believer is essentially put them in God's hands. Let God take care of them. But God has called us to peace. The higher calling in regards to a marital relationship is to maintain harmony within the household. See, now, often this can be done whether one's positive, one's negative, or not. Sometimes it's hard to do even when both are positive, but we're not dealing with that. Four, there is the call to be called in holiness under the regime of God's righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. That's phase two, righteousness. To take the opportunity of the work of Christ on the cross of conquering Satan's hold over the sin nature, the individual through the sin nature, and applying doctrine and fellowship otherwise. See, we are said to be called into. That's the combination of the preposition eis, E-I-S, with kaleo. We're to be called into this union, first and foremost, of fellowship. To have fellowship with God, this is the way to do it. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Makes these things, again, effective. Two, we're called into his kingdom. We now have a new citizenship. We are to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ and his righteousness and Bible doctrine to the world. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Three, we're called into eternal life. All that eternal life has to offer, if you will. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith, Bible doctrine. To keep on fighting the good fight is to stay in the course in regards to Bible doctrine, no matter what else is going on around your life. To fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. That's all that eternal life has to offer, as it would apply then to the believer under terms of surpassing grace, phase 3, SU 3, to which you were called. Literally, into which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy. Paul's exhortation to him. Four, we're called into the enjoyment of Bible doctrine. 1 Peter 2:9. Not everybody enjoys Bible doctrine. The positive of the just believer, because of all that has been made effective through the grace of salvation, can enjoy it. And that is what we're to do. This is where we should be able to draw our plus H, enjoying time. But you are a holy, a chosen race. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. From the human viewpoint, SCA-driven world, to the divine viewpoint, being in fellowship with God, isolated in the SCA world. See. Another area that we're called into is suffering. Point five, that's 1 Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, to share in Christ's sufferings, as we experience our own testing in life. Six, we're called into the sphere of blessing. The sphere of blessing. To be blessed by God rather than the cosmos, under our own energy of the flesh, etc. 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. To isolate the sin nature, to not let revenge, bitterness, anger, things of this nature dictate your life, to isolate it, apply doctrine, both overtly as well as verbally. Obviously, it all starts in the mental attitude. And applying divine good otherwise. So the sphere of blessing. Seven, we are called again into eternal glory. We saw His kingdom and glory in Thessalonians here, 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you into His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then eight, we are called into a marriage supper. We are given an invitation for dinner. And it'll be a nice one. The spread will be unbelievable. Revelation 19:9. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited, called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true words of God. So Roman numeral 9, finally the summary of this particular doctrine. In common grace, the Holy Spirit presents the gospel, phase 1. B, in efficacious grace, that which is, makes the grace effective, man responds to the gospel. All right, so we can add that to our portfolio and depth of understanding of God.